Welcome to Claude Talks, the podcast where we dive deep into technology, ideas, and the things shaping our world. I'm Emma.
And I'm Ryan. And today we're kicking things off with a topic that's absolutely everywhere right now, AI agents. What they actually are, how they work under the hood, and why the whole industry seems to have pivoted to building them.
Right, and I think there's a lot of confusion out there. Like, people hear AI agent, and they think it means a chatbot with a fancy name. Or they think it's science fiction, some autonomous robot making decisions for you.
Both of which are kind of true and kind of not true at the same time, which is honestly the most frustrating thing about this space.
So let's start at the very beginning. Ryan, in your own words, what is an AI agent?
Okay. At its core, an AI agent is a system where a language model doesn't just answer a single question, it takes actions, observes the results of those actions, and then decides what to do next. It's a loop rather than a single shot.
So the key word is loop.
Exactly. You take a regular LLM, a large language model, and instead of saying, "Here's my question, give me my answer," you put it in a cycle. It gets a goal, it thinks about what steps it needs to take, it executes one of those steps, sees what happened, and then thinks again.
And what does "takes actions" actually mean in practice? Because a language model is just producing text, right? It's not clicking buttons.
Great question. So this is where tools come in. Developers give the language model access to a set of tools. These might be things like searching the web, reading a file, writing code, calling an API, sending an email. The model doesn't literally click a button. Instead, it outputs a structured request saying, "I want to call this tool with these inputs."
And then something else in the system actually executes that?
Precisely. There's an orchestration layer, think of it like a controller, that reads the model's output, sees it wants to call a tool, actually runs the tool, and then feeds the result back to the model as new context.
So the model is kind of like the brain, and the orchestration layer is like the nervous system and the hands.
That's a great analogy. The model reasons, the orchestrator acts. And then the result of the action comes back and the model can reason again with that new information.
Okay, so let's make this concrete. Walk me through a real example. Like, what would an AI agent actually do if I asked it to research the top 5 competitors of my startup and write me a brief report?
Sure. So you give that prompt to an agent. The model thinks about it, it might reason something like, "To do this, I need to first understand what the startup does, then identify competitors, then look them up, then synthesize the findings." So step 1, it might call a web search tool. Search, startup name, competitors 2026.
And it gets back search results.
Right. It reads those results, maybe finds a few names. Then it calls web search again for each competitor. Search, company X pricing and features. It does this 5 or 6 times, each time using the results to inform the next search.
So it's building up knowledge incrementally.
Exactly. And then at some point, it decides it has enough information and it writes the report. Maybe it formats it, maybe it saves it to a file using a FileWrite tool. And then it reports back to you, "Here's your competitive analysis."
And all of that happened without you doing anything in between.
That's the magic of it. You gave it a high-level goal, not a step-by-step instruction. The agent figured out the steps itself.
That's actually kind of wild when you think about it. Because traditionally, if you wanted that done, you'd either do it yourself or you'd give someone a checklist of tasks.
Right, and what agents let you do is delegate at the goal level rather than the task level. You don't say, "Go to Google, search for X, copy the results, open a doc, write this section." You just say, "Do this thing," and it figures out the how.
Okay, so let's talk about the architecture a bit more. You mentioned the orchestration layer. What are the main components of an agent system?
So if you break it down, you've got 4 main pieces. First, there's the language model itself, the brain. Second, there's the tool set, the things it can do. Third, there's memory. And fourth, there's the planning or reasoning mechanism.
Let's take each one. The language model. Any model can be an agent?
In theory, yes, but in practice some models are much better at it than others. The key capability you need is what's called function calling or tool use, the ability for the model to output structured requests to call tools, rather than just prose. Most frontier models support this now. GPT-4, Claude, Gemini, they all have tool calling support baked in.
And why does it matter that it's baked in?
Because if it's not baked in, you're relying on the model to produce a specific output format reliably, and then you're trying to parse that. With native tool calling, the model produces a machine-readable JSON object saying exactly which tool it wants to call and with what parameters. Much more reliable.
Got it. Now memory. What does memory mean for an AI agent?
Okay, so this one's interesting because memory in AI agents comes in a few different flavors. The first is what we call in-context memory, that's just everything currently in the model's context window. The conversation history, the tool results, everything it's seen so far.
And context windows are limited.
They are, though they've gotten dramatically longer, we're talking a million tokens now for some models. But even so, for long-running tasks you can't just keep shoving everything in there indefinitely.
So what are the other types?
There's external memory, basically a database the agent can read from and write to. Maybe it's a vector database, where the agent stores summaries of things it's learned and can retrieve them semantically later. What do I know about company X, and it searches its memory store?
Like giving the agent a notebook it can flip back through.
Exactly. And then there's a longer-term form sometimes called episodic memory, where the agent can look back at previous tasks it's done and learn from them. Like last time I did a competitive analysis, I found this approach worked well.
That's getting into pretty sophisticated territory. Is that widely deployed now?
It's an active research area. Some production systems have it. Others are simpler. The more memory you add, the more powerful but also the more complex and expensive things get.
Let's talk about planning. How does an agent actually decide what steps to take?
So there are a few strategies here. The simplest is what's called REACT, which stands for reasoning and acting. The idea is that the model explicitly alternates between thinking about what to do next and then doing it. So you'd see outputs like thought, I need to find the pricing page. Action, search for company X pricing.
It's basically the model narrating its own thought process.
Right. And this turns out to be really powerful because by forcing the model to articulate its reasoning before acting, you get better decisions. It's the same reason humans tend to make better choices when they think out loud or write things down.
It's like rubber duck debugging but for AI.
Exactly. And then there's a more sophisticated approach called chain of thought, where you actually prompt the model to think through a problem step by step before committing to an answer. And then there are even more advanced techniques like tree of thought, where the model explores multiple possible plans and evaluates them before choosing one.
That sounds expensive though. Multiple plans?
It can be. There's a real trade-off in agent design between capability and cost. The more you let the model reason and explore, the better the outputs, but the more API calls you make, the more tokens you burn.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit. You've talked about single agents, but I've been hearing a lot about multi-agent systems. What's that about?
Right, so this is where things get really interesting. The idea is that instead of having one agent try to do everything, you have multiple specialized agents that collaborate. Maybe one agent is good at research, another at writing, another at code review. And an orchestrator agent coordinates them.
So it's like a team of AI workers instead of one generalist.
That's a great way to put it. And the reason you'd want this is a few things. First, specialization, you can tune each agent for a specific task. Second, parallelism, multiple agents can work simultaneously on different subtasks. Third, it helps with the context window problem, because each agent only needs to see the relevant part of the work.
Are these agents actually running in parallel?
They can be. Some frameworks support spawning multiple agents simultaneously and then aggregating their results. Others are sequential, one agent does its work, hands off to the next.
Can you give me a real-world example of multi-agent?
Sure. Think about a software development workflow. You might have a planner agent that breaks down a feature request into tasks, a coder agent that writes the code for each task, A review agent that reads the code and suggests improvements. A test agent that writes unit tests. And a coordinator agent orchestrating the whole thing.
That's essentially an automated software team.
Which is exactly what some companies are building. There are startups whose entire product is basically an AI software team you can point at a GitHub repo and say, implement this feature.
And does it actually work?
For well-scoped tasks, increasingly yes. For complex, ambiguous tasks, still limited. The state of the art is impressive, but the failure modes are real.
Let's talk about failure modes. What goes wrong with agents?
Oh, so many things. The first big one is what's sometimes called the compounding error problem. In a multi-step process, if the model makes a small mistake early on, that mistake can propagate through all subsequent steps. By the time you get to step 15, you're completely off track.
And the model doesn't necessarily know it's gone wrong.
Exactly. It has no ground truth to check itself against. It just confidently continues. Which brings me to the second failure mode. Hallucination in agentic contexts is much more dangerous than in a chat context.
Because the agent is actually doing things.
Right. If a chatbot hallucinates a fact, you can verify it. If an agent hallucinates an API endpoint and calls it, it might send real data somewhere. Or if it hallucinates code and executes it, that code runs.
That's a bit scary.
It is. This is why human oversight and approval mechanisms are so important in production agent systems. You want checkpoints where a human can review what the agent is about to do before it does it, especially for irreversible actions.
Like sending an email or making a payment.
Exactly. The golden rule of responsible agent design is, the more irreversible the action, the more human confirmation you should require.
What's the third failure mode?
Getting stuck in loops. An agent can sometimes get into a state where it keeps retrying the same failed action, or keeps going in circles because it doesn't know how to move forward. This is why good frameworks have maximum iteration limits and explicit stuck detection mechanisms.
How do you actually build one of these things? What are the main frameworks out there?
So there are quite a few now. LangChain was one of the early popular ones. It's a Python framework that gives you building blocks for agents, tools, memory, chains. It's very flexible but can be complex.
I've heard people criticize it for being overly complicated.
That's fair. It was designed when the patterns were still being figured out, so it has a lot of abstraction. LangGraph is a newer product from the same team that's more explicitly about building graph-based agent workflows, which is cleaner for complex multi-step systems.
What else?
AutoGen from Microsoft is interesting. It's specifically designed for multi-agent scenarios. You define agents and then define how they communicate with each other. There's also CrewAI, which has a very intuitive API where you define agents with roles and goals, almost like hiring a team.
That sounds almost fun to use.
It is actually. You write things like, this is the researcher agent. Its goal is to find accurate information. Its backstory is that it's a former librarian with excellent research skills. And the model actually internalizes that persona when it operates.
Wild. Okay, and what about cloud offerings? Are the big providers building agent infrastructure?
Absolutely. AWS has Bedrock agents. Google has Vertex AI Agent Builder. Azure has Azure AI Agent Service. Anthropic recently shipped the Model Context Protocol, which is a standard for how agents connect to tools and data sources.
What's the Model Context Protocol?
So MCP, Model Context Protocol, is Anthropic's attempt to standardize how you connect LLMs to external tools and data. The idea is that instead of every developer building custom integrations, you have a common protocol. A tool server exposes capabilities via MCP, and any MCP-compatible client can use them. It's gotten a lot of traction.
So it's kind of like USB for AI tools?
That's exactly how people describe it, yeah. Before USB, every peripheral had its own connector. MCP is trying to be the universal connector for AI capabilities.
Let's zoom out. Why is this all happening now? Why are agents the hot thing in 2025 and 2026?
I think there are a few converging factors. First, the models have genuinely gotten good enough. 2 years ago, if you asked a model to do a 10-step task, it would lose the thread by step 4. Now you can do 50-step tasks with decent reliability.
So it's less about the idea being new and more about the execution becoming viable.
Exactly. The vision of autonomous AI workers has been around since at least the 1950s. What's new is that the underlying capability has crossed some threshold where it's actually useful.
What's the second factor?
Context windows getting longer. When you're limited to 4,000 tokens, agent workflows are very constrained, you can't keep much context. Now with million token windows, you can maintain state across very long tasks.
And the third?
The tooling ecosystem maturing. 2 years ago, if you wanted to build an agent, you were essentially writing everything from scratch. Now you have LangChain, LangGraph, AutoGen, CrewAI, a dozen others. The primitives exist. The patterns are documented. You can build something real in a weekend.
Which explains why every developer and their dog is building an AI agent startup.
Huh, yes. And honestly, why a lot of them look similar. When the tooling commoditizes, the moat has to come from somewhere else, the data you have, the workflows you understand deeply, the customers you can actually sell to.
Let's talk about where this is all going. What's your read on the next few years?
I think we're going to see a few things. First, agents moving from being demos and experiments to being production infrastructure. Like, actual companies running actual business processes on agents. Finance, legal, software engineering, customer service.
We're already seeing some of that.
We are. But it's still early and fragile. The next step is reliability. The ability to trust an agent to complete a 10-hour task without supervision and have it come out right. That requires much better error detection, self-correction, and verification.
Second thing?
Memory and learning. Right now, most agents start fresh every time. They don't remember the last time they did a similar task. The agents of the future will have persistent memory, they'll get better at their job over time. They'll remember you, know your preferences, know what worked and what didn't.
That's starting to sound a lot like a colleague.
Which is kind of the vision, right? Not a tool you use, but something more like a digital team member that you build a working relationship with over time.
Third,
multi-agent ecosystems. Right now, agents are built in isolation by one team. I think you'll start seeing agents from different companies interacting with each other. Your accounting agent talking to your bank's transaction agent. Your scheduling agent talking to your lawyer's availability agent. A whole economy of agents transacting with each other.
And presumably standards like MCP become really important in that world.
Hugely important. That's exactly why Anthropic is pushing MCP hard. Whoever sets the standard for inter-agent communication has enormous influence over the shape of that ecosystem.
Let's bring this back down to earth for a second. For someone listening who's a software engineer, maybe they're thinking about agents for the first time. What should they actually do?
I'd say start with something small and concrete. Don't try to build the autonomous software engineer on your first try. Pick a workflow you do manually that has maybe 3 to 5 steps, where each step is something a computer can do, search the web, read a file, call an API. Implement that as an agent.
What framework would you recommend starting with?
If you're in Python, I'd say LangGraph right now has the best balance of flexibility and structure for production use. If you want something conceptually simpler to start, CrewAI is genuinely fun to learn with. And if you want to go low level, the Anthropic and OpenAI APIs have tool calling built in, so you can implement a basic agent loop yourself in about 100 lines of code.
100 lines?
Seriously. The call loop is send messages to model, check if model wants to call the tool, append result to messages, repeat until model says it's done. That's it. Everything else is Polish.
That's actually reassuring. I think people assume it's this enormously complex thing.
The concepts are simple. The hard parts are choosing good tools, designing good prompts, handling errors gracefully, and deciding what requires human approval. Those are the bits that take experience.
Any pitfalls people consistently fall into?
Yes, trying to do too much in one agent. The failure rate goes up fast as the task complexity increases. Better to have two smaller reliable agents than one big unreliable one. Also, not thinking about failure modes up front. Before you deploy anything, ask, what happens if the agent loops infinitely? What happens if it makes an irreversible mistake? Have your safeguards before you need them, not after.
Good advice. One more question before we wrap up. What's the most impressive thing you've seen an agent do recently?
Okay, so there was a demo from one of the coding agent companies, I think it was Divin, where they gave it a real GitHub issue from an open source project and it autonomously read the code base, identified the bug, wrote a fix, wrote tests, and opened a pull request. End to end. That would take a junior developer a few hours.
And the agent did it in what minutes?
20 to 30 minutes. Now to be clear, it doesn't always work that well. These systems still have significant failure rates on hard problems. But the fact that it works at all, reliably, on real code bases? That was unimaginable 5 years ago.
It's genuinely remarkable.
It is. And I think that's the right frame for agents in general, not this will replace everything, and not it's just hype. It's more like, here is a new class of tool that is already doing real work, still has real limitations, and is getting better faster than almost anything we've seen in software.
Well said. I think that's a great place to land. Ryan, this has been a fantastic conversation.
Really enjoyed it, Emma. And for anyone who wants to play around with agents, I'd say go build one this weekend. Even a simple one. Once you see it work, it's hard to go back.
Absolutely. That's it for today's episode of Claude Talks. If you've got a topic you want us to cover, technology, science, ideas, send it in and we'll make it an episode. I'm Emma.
And I'm Ryan. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.